Good morning and welcome to Victory again. I thank you for the privilege that you have given me to come into your living room this morning and share the Word of God with you. Today we'll continue our study on the book of Hebrews. We'll begin in chapter 12 and verse 1. We've been looking at faith and growing our faith, and last week we looked at the heroes of faith, and today we're going to continue in that study, beginning with Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. You can read with me if you will. It says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we praise you because you are the one true, the living God. Lord, we look to you for the healing of our nation. We look to you for leadership, Lord, and for wisdom for our leaders of this nation. We look to you, Lord, for every need that we have as your people. I pray, Lord, that you would heal our land. I pray, Lord, that the result will be a great revival where hearts once again turn to you, and that, Lord, we can be truly called one nation under God. Lord, I pray as we look into this study today that you would open our minds and our hearts to your word. Teach us, Lord, your ways that we may grow thereby. Lord, we love you and we praise you for all things, but most of all, we want to praise you for our Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord of lords and King of kings. Thank you for the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, in the last month, we've been focusing on our faith. And today, I want to give you just a couple of things that you can apply that will ensure that you continue progressing or growing in your faith. And number one, we're going to start with surrounding yourself with saints. In the text that we read, it says, "Therefore, also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," and what it's referring to there, of course, are the Old Testament and the Bible days saints who distinguished themselves by their faith. And that should be an encouragement to us as we look at men like Moses, Samson, David, as we look at the men of the New Testament, the disciples, Peter, James, and John, and we should look at those guys and be encouraged. And one of the reasons we can be encouraged is because as you look at those guys, there was nothing special about those men in themselves. They were ordinary, plain men that God did extraordinary things through because they had faith. I mean, you look at the disciples that Jesus called. They were fishermen. Now, being fishermen, usually it does not impress you with these are intellectual people. I mean, let's face it, those guys were not rocket scientists. But God used them in a tremendous, mighty way, and it was because they began with their faith, and they began small in faith, but through time, their faith grew. And that should make us say, hey, if God can use those people, God can use me also. I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. I'm encouraged by this text when it says, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which were not, to bring to nothing the things that are." Do you realize that God chooses the most insignificant people and things to do great and mighty works through? And do you know why that is? The reason that is found in 1 Corinthians 1:29. It says, "So that no flesh should glory in his presence." God wants to do great things through you and through me. However, he wants, as he works through you and through me, he wants the world to see that it's our great God that's doing these great things, not us. I look here and I'm reminded that we should never dismiss ourselves as being unusable because of our personal limitation. Listen, God does not want your abilities. He wants you. All that is expected of you is for you to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable for God, before God. That's your reasonable service. It's saying, God, here am I, use me. And that's encouraging. It's encouraging because I realize I don't have anything to live up to. I don't have a standard that I have to meet before God will use me. All I have to be is faithful. Now that's encouraging. Not only are we encouraged by the heritage and the great men and women of our past, we're encouraged by the great men and women that are here among us in the present. We are surrounded by the best support system in existence. And that is called the church. This support system that God has placed among us has been given the commission to make disciples. Now, what does that mean to you? That means it's the church's role, a local body of believers who have joined together to make disciples. It's the church's role to help you grow. That's what church is about. And I want you to understand, in today's society, there are so many that'll point a finger and try to tear down the church and say the church is full of hypocrites and point out everything that the church is doing wrong. But I want to tell you something. There are a great many things that the church is doing right, and I need God's church today. I need the fellowship of God's people. I need the encouragement of God's people. And it is much easier for me to walk the walk of faith when I'm surrounded by other believers that are walking in the same direction that I am. That's what Christians need today to grow. I would say anyone who wants to grow in their faith today, the first step you need to take is find you a church. A group of believers who are committed to following Jesus Christ and will encourage you to do the same thing. That's what they did in the New Testament. I mean, you look at men like Paul, great men like Paul, who was responsible for establishing many churches everywhere he went. He never went alone. He was never alone. He had helpers like Silas and Barnabas, young men like Timothy, men like Luke, and as well as many others. And when Paul was in Roman prison, he writes back to Timothy and he says, Timothy, you bring John Mark with you. He's profitable to me. I need to spend time with you and with John Mark because the only ones that's left with me now is Luke. Paul always had that desire to be among fellow believers because it's just encouraging sharing fellowship with like-minded people. There's strength in numbers. I'll tell you, you know, we talk about this national crisis that has swept our nation. But there are some good things coming out of this crisis. And one of the good things is a new appreciation for God's church. I've talked to people and I myself, one thing that stands out is how much I need my fellow believers. I need to meet with fellow believers and worship with fellow believers. I need to talk to them. I need to share with them. I need to hear them share with me. There is a great big empty spot in me right now, not getting to meet with those people that I love so very much. But I know that day's coming, okay? Pretty soon, we're going to get back to the time where we meet together again. And I want to challenge you. Realize what we've been missing the last few weeks. And let's not take it for granted when things open back up. And let's be faithful among our church brethren and attendance among church members. Because we need one another. We need one another so much. These things, if you will will back up and just take a look at those that in our past and those in our present. These things will build and help to grow your faith. But there are also some things you're going to have to get rid of if you're going to grow. And I would call them hindrances to our faith. And the hindrance number one is you're going to have to take a personal stand. And when I say personal, I don't mean get on Facebook and proclaim to everybody on Facebook what you stand for. I'm talking about a personal stand with yourself. There are some things that you are going to have to do that involve the inside of you. Okay? And in the text that we read, it said, "Let us lay aside every weight." You're going to have to lay aside the weight. Lay aside, it simply means to get rid of. There's some things you're going to have to put out of your life. That word weight is something that is immaterial that interferes with the progress of your faith. Okay? Now, the word immaterial, of course, we're talking about unimportant things. Now, I want you to take a look at your life. Let's get serious for just a moment. Take a look at your life, and I want you to decide or find those things that are not important, that are hindering the growth of your faith. Okay? Only you can do that. And these weights may not be sinful in themselves, but they become sinful when they get between us and between our growth and our relationship with God. Here, this has to be our mentality. Are you ready? Please listen. The mentality of the growing believer is God first. Number one, before anything else, God first. And there can be nothing to hinder that stand. You see, we've become a society of excuse makers. We give reasons for our failures, but usually the reasons don't amount to anything. They're unimportant. For example, I would attend church, but my child is on a traveling baseball team and we're out of town every weekend. I want to share something with you. That is an excuse. That is a bad excuse. What you have done is you have replaced God with a baseball team. And the reality is, your child's probably not going to grow up and be a star pitcher for the St. Louis Cardinals. There is this much chance that that happens. But when you keep your child out of church, he's not getting an education in the Word of God as he needs. Therefore, as he grows up, God's not going to be important to him. You're letting unimportant things get between you, your family, and God. We have those that would say, "Well, I would share Jesus with others, but I'm afraid I'll say something wrong." You're letting your fear get in front of God. Let me offer you this. If there's someone you know who's lost, and God has laid it upon your heart to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ with them, let me just explain the reality to you. They're going to hell. You do nothing, they're going to hell. So what can you say that's wrong that's going to make that any worse than it already is? Nothing. The only thing you can do is throw them a lifeline, which is Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, my friends. Quit making excuses. And start putting God first. It's much like this example. If you see me fall down, and you think I'm having a heart attack, and I'm laying there and I'm not breathing, you see me laying there, I'm turning blue, and the first thought comes to your mind, I would do CPR on Brother Doug, but I don't know how. You have my permission to learn on me at that point. Okay? Don't sit there and let me die. Do chest compressions. Breathe for me. Do something, but don't sit there and do absolutely nothing. That's what we're doing with lost people in the world today. We're letting them go to hell. Doing nothing. Excuses. You have to take a personal stand. I would teach class, but I get nervous in front of people. You're letting your fear get in front of what God's calling you to do. I'd read through the Bible. I hear people all the time, oh, I'd love to read through the Bible, but I don't have time. How much time do you spend watching TV a night? You're letting TV get in front of you and God. Quit making excuses and lay aside the weight, the hindrances that are preventing you from growing in your faith. Get rid of them. Only you can do that. Listen, your pastor can preach till he's blue in the face, and it's not going to matter until you say, I'm going to do something. Second thing that I want you to do, or that the writer of Hebrews tells us to do, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. That word ensnares, it means to skillfully encircle on all sides for the purpose of attacking. The picture is, here was the first picture. In the first part of this message, we were surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Here, we're surrounded or encircled by our sin that's ready to attack and prevent us from growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to grow. But every time we start, we come face to face with our sin. And that sin, it's like one step forward, two steps back. And it's been that way for years. Maybe it's a sexual sin. Maybe you have a pornography addiction. It's not going to get any better as long as you feed that addiction. Maybe it's a sexual sin, whereas you're living with someone outside of marriage and you know that's wrong. You know God has instituted the institution of marriage for your happiness and for your good. But you skipped over that. And now you're saying, I would get involved in God's work and church, but I've got this problem. Only you can go a different direction. Maybe it's bitterness. Somebody did something to you 5, 10, 20 years ago, and every time you see them, all those feelings come back, and it just makes you so mad that you can't do anything because they're there. Forgive them. Brother Doug, it's not that easy. You're right. You've got to get on your knees, pour out your heart before God, and ask for God's love to saturate your life so you can forgive them. Maybe it's greed, pride, or temper. And I can go down a list of sins here, and it's like shooting a shotgun. We just kind of make the blast and hope something sticks. But I'm going to ask you to do something for me this morning. I'm going to ask you to evaluate your own life. What's the sin that's stopping your growth? But every time you try, it attacks and prevents you. You are the only one that can get rid of it. Not the preacher, not youth pastors, not associate pastors, not moms, not dads. Only you can get rid of it. You see, we're like the football team. I enjoy football. I'm looking forward to football season. I hope we do get to have one this year. But I always found it amusing as teams every once in a while, we'll wear a new uniform. They will get new colors, new designs. I've often wondered how much money was spent on designers and everything that went into those new uniforms. And anyway, long story short, we bring out the football team and they've got new uniforms. They look good. But if this football team enters the game and they can't block and they can't tackle, they can't move the ball across the goal line, they can't play defense, they'll just lose looking good. Uniforms don't mean nothing. There are so many people in the world today, so many Christians, I fear, who go to church and they put on the uniform for everybody else to see. But once they get in the game, they're losing battle after battle after battle because they don't address their sin. My friend, you're the only one that can do it. Now, am I telling you, you've got to be perfect? No. We all fight the sins of the flesh. We all do, this pastor included. But what I'm suggesting to you is it's time to start fighting instead of just surrendering to the sin. I truly believe that this text was given so that anyone, as they look at this, can say, hey, I can grow in my relationship with Jesus Christ. Not just those heroes of the Old Testament, not just the apostles, not just the deacons and the pastor of the church, but that it comes down to every individual, that you, as a child of God, can grow in your faith and be what you've never been before. But it's up to you. There are some things that you have to do. Action that you have to take. I love in the last part of verse 1 here. It says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You realize Christianity was never meant to be a spectator sport. There are a lot of people in the stands rooting for pastors and missionaries and associate pastors and deacons and others. And there are even people in the stands thinking, boy, I wish I could do that. Well, I want to tell you, you can. But you got to get started. You've got to say, this life of mediocrity is not what I want in my relationship with God. I've been settling for a long time. I'm not going to settle anymore. Surround yourself with God's people. Get yourself in church. A church that preaches the truth and is not so worried about being politically correct, but rather is concerned with being scripturally correct. Surround yourself with those kind of people. Then be ready to take a personal stand. Lay aside the weights, the things that hinder you. Get rid of the sin. The Bible calls that repentance. Turning from sin. And get in the race. Get in the race. Start to grow. And you'll be amazed at what God can do in your life when you truly surrender to Him. Now, you may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to just offer you this. We at Victory Baptist Church love you. We don't care about your past. We care about your future. And we want to see you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Here's what you've got to do. You've got to turn. Turn from whatever it is that is the focus of your life, whatever it is that you're trusting in, and you turn to Jesus Christ and you call upon Him, making Him the Lord of your life. The Bible says if we'll confess the Lord Jesus, meaning if we will confess Jesus is Lord, making Him the Lord of our life, believing that He is the Son of God, whom God raised from the dead, today seated at the right hand of God, ready to answer your prayer. If you'll ask Jesus to save you today, I promise you, on the authority of the Word of God, you will be saved. Romans 10:13. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, don't face the rest of this day without the assurance of Jesus Christ. If you're saved, shall I challenge you? Don't live in mediocrity any longer, but make Jesus the priority of your life. Thank you for giving me this chance to share God's Word with you. God bless you.